Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is all about NFTs. If you've been wondering what NFTs are, how they work, what types of assets relate to NFTs, and why you should care about them going forward, then this is the video for you. This is the full beginner's guide to NFTs. And as with all my videos, we've got chapters included. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip forward. So let's get started. So I'm sure everybody watching this video has heard of NFTs, but do you really understand what they are and how they operate? Well, NFT stands for non-fungible token. And even that breakdown is still confusing to me. Fungible is not a word that anybody uses in everyday life. It's one of those words that you're not quite sure what it means. Well, if you look at the definition in the dictionary, it states fungible means easy to exchange or trade for something else of the same type and value. So even the dictionary definition is difficult to understand. But what it actually means is replaceable or replicable. So if we were to replace fungible with replaceable in NFT, we would have non-replaceable token. So we're talking about something that is unique. There is only one of them. It can't be replaced or it can't be replicated. And that's why NFTs are of interest to the world, because they are a unique asset. And that's why they potentially could be worth a lot of money. Because when there's only one of something, then that is the ultimate in terms of rarity. And in the world of cryptocurrency and the digital world, anything that is scarce or there is only one of becomes valuable. So we now know that NFT relates to unique assets. But what sort of assets are we talking about, and what do we mean by unique? Well, the most obvious example in NFTs is art. The most famous artwork in the world is the Mona Lisa by Leonardo da Vinci. And that is a physical piece of art. It's tangible. If you bought the Mona Lisa, you could take possession of it, and that would prove your ownership. There would also be some ownership documentation around it, but actually to prove that you physically owned it, you could have it in a safe in your house. Other people could take photos of the Mona Lisa, and they could have images of it on their wall, and they can have reproductions of the original artwork, but there is only one original. That is unique, and that's why it is so valuable, because everybody in the world who likes art would love to own the Mona Lisa. It can't be replicated and it's irreplaceable. If it went up in flames tomorrow, then the Mona Lisa would no longer exist. All of the copies and the prints would still exist, but the original version of the Mona Lisa would be gone forever. Now, NFTs work on the same basis of rarity. There can be only one of each NFT in the world, and that's why it will have value, because somebody will want that NFT, and because there is only one, it then gets bid up in price when it comes into the secondary market. So an NFT is a digital asset which offers ownership to one party. So when you see images of an NFT, that only represents a copy of the original version. So it's exactly the same as the Mona Lisa example. The original of the Mona Lisa is held in the Louvre in Paris, and the original of any NFT will be held digitally on the blockchain. So how do NFTs work? Where are they stored? How do you prove you have ownership? And how do you trade them? As these are digital assets, it's all down to technology. And the core behind all of this technology is the blockchain. Now, the blockchain is a network of computers that are linked together that store transactions. No one individual or corporation owns the blockchain. It is a network of computers that is joined together all across the globe. So to explain this in very simple terms, I'll use the example of currency. So let's talk about US dollars and how your personal holding of US dollars is recorded. Now, these days, we've moved away from the cash society and we're now into the cashless digital world. And the way that system works is that you choose a particular bank that you want to bank with. So let's take an example of Bank of America. So when you open an account with Bank of America, you give them all of your personal details and they give you some unique details relating to your personal account. Now, you give those personal details to your employer, And at the end of the month, your employer transfers an amount of money to your personal account with Bank of America. So at any one time, you can log on and see exactly how many dollars you're holding with Bank of America. Now, let's assume you want to buy a coffee from Starbucks. So you drop into your local branch, you order your caramel latte, the guy behind the counter says it's $5, and you wave your phone and pay with Apple Pay. What will happen at that point is that the payment system that Starbucks operates, and let's assume it's Stripe just for the sake of ease here, Stripe will contact the Bank of America where all of your funds are held, and they will ask for $5 to be transferred. Bank of America will then transfer a $5 credit to Stripe for Starbucks, and they will debit $5 from the ledger that they are holding in your name. So that's how the banking system operates. Everybody has confidence in Bank of America and Stripe and all of the other financial institutions. So if you had $1 million with Bank of America, you would feel very comfortable that it's in a safe place and that it's not going to disappear overnight. And blockchain has been built to operate in a similar fashion, but without having corporates involved. So nobody owns individual ledgers. So in the banking example, we're talking about Bank of America. When you give your money to Bank of America, they are the company that then owns it. They have their own ledgers and you're using the Bank of America systems. Blockchain has been set up to operate on a universal basis. So we don't have individual companies that are owning portions of it. It's operated across the globe. Now, there are different types of technology that operate within blockchain, and Ethereum is one of those technologies. And Ethereum is the dominant player when we're talking about NFTs. That's the technology that most of the NFTs that have been issued has utilized. So coming back to the question of how does it work? How are NFTs stored and recorded on the blockchain? Well, this is all down to digital technology. So the digital asset is made up by coding. So this is a series of computer codes that create the digital asset that you can see. So the assets themselves exist on the blockchain, and the ownership of those assets also is recorded on the blockchain. So all of this is done digitally. So it's exactly the same principle as your money in the bank with Bank of America. You have to have confidence in the blockchain and all of the security around it that once you buy an NFT and you become the registered owner of that unique asset, then you have to be comfortable that that is where it exists and that's where the ownership is recorded. It's as simple as that. An NFT does not exist in real life. It's an intangible asset. But once you're happy with the concept, then you can buy ownership of an individual NFT. So what type of NFTs are out there? Well, there is a huge number of NFTs available, and the variety is increasing all the time. The highest profile and most common NFT is art. And art is split into two different categories, individual art and collections. Individual art is where one unique piece has been created by an artist. And the single most expensive individual art piece to date is Everyday's The First 5,000 Days by Beeple. And Beeple is a specialist digital artist, and this particular piece relates to 5,000 different artworks that he created over a period of 13 years. And it sold for $69 million in March 2021. And this part of the market is very similar to traditional art in terms of you have renowned artists and their pieces go for a lot of money. Alongside individual art, we've also got collections of NFTs. Now, this is the most famous part of the NFT market. If you've seen an article or something on the news relating to NFTs, it probably touched upon the collections. One of the earliest and most famous NFT collections is CryptoPunks. CryptoPunks were launched in June 2017 by two guys called Matt Hall and John Watkinson, who are based in Canada. And they used an algorithm to produce 10,000 different digital images of punks. And all 10,000 of these images were sold for Ethereum, and at the time, the value was around about $74 per image. Since then, the value of CryptoPunks has risen significantly, and it was reported in October 2021 that a single CryptoPunk NFT sold for $532 million. NFTs relating to music is also a fast-growing market. NFTs can relate to individual tracks, and a Whitney Houston demo song that she recorded when she was 17 recently sold for $1 million, or it can be a unique collection. So in 2021, the Kings of Leon released a new album, and they packaged up various different promotions into individual NFTs. And some of these offered lifetime passes to all of their future gigs, or there was original artwork that was only included on each individual NFT. And for artists that have a large fan base, this can be quite a lucrative source of income. In February 2021, Justin Blau, who's known as Three Lau, sold an NFT collection of his music for $11.6 million. Gaming is also a big growth area for NFTs. So you can own individual items or skins or weapons or anything that relates to a game. Some games are offering a pay-to-earn option where when you play, you can build up various items and then you can actually sell them to other players. So there is a secondary market for those NFTs. And the highest individual item that has sold so far is the Metaflower, which is a digital yacht that sold for $650,000. There are also NFTs that relate to memes. And the most famous one that sold so far is the Doge meme, which sold for $4 million. The LeBron James dunk, which sold for $208,000. But it doesn't stop at videos. People are also happy to buy NFTs relating to tweets. So Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, sold his first ever tweet for $2.9 million. And Edward Snowden, the NSA whistleblower, recently sold the documents relating to his court proceedings for $5.4 million. So you can literally make an NFT out of anything you can think of. It doesn't have to be art. It can be videos, it can be documentation, it can be paperwork, it can even be computer game imagery. So why should you care about NFTs? What's the point of all of this? Well, these are an investment. And whether you buy into the crypto markets and digital currency or not, they are around right now and they are hot news. And this has been one of the fastest growing markets in investment terms that we've seen for a number of years. There has been a lot of profit made in NFTs over the last year or so. Whether it will continue, whether it's a bubble, whether it's about to burst, I can't answer any of those questions. But what I can tell you is that people are making serious money in NFTs right now. And this trend is continuing and looks likely to continue for some time yet. And one of the main reasons that it's become so popular is that we've now got a big secondary market. Now, there are a lot of different marketplaces, but the most famous at the moment is OpenSea. And the reason that the secondary market is so important is that that gives you liquidity. So if you buy an NFT, you can go and sell it on one of these secondary market sites. And the value of a lot of NFT collections has been rising rapidly. Now, one of the highest valued collections from 2021 is the Bored Ape Yacht Club, which launched in April 21 at around about $190 per token. And those tokens have sold collectively for more than $2.3 billion. If you want to buy a Bored Ape token today, it will cost you somewhere in the region of $1 million compared to $190. So that's why the whole of the investment world is so excited. If you can get on board to one of these new issue collections at an entry price of $150, $200, and it trades up, you could make 10, 100, 1,000 times your return in a very short space of time. Now, obviously, that is not going to happen to every one of these collections. There'll be some winners and a lot of losers. And there's also a lot of scams and what is known as a rug pull, where a collection is launched and then there's no support for it in the secondary market and the value craters to zero. But whichever way you look at it, this is a really interesting and exciting investment opportunity. Now, one of the main restrictions to this market is that you need to have some cryptocurrency to be able to buy these tokens. So you will need to create a wallet and do all of the things around buying cryptocurrency before you can step in and buy a token directly. But that really isn't that difficult to do these days, and it's probably worth putting in a little bit of time and effort so that you can get some Ether and then be able to buy some tokens. So hopefully you've enjoyed this video and you now understand NFTs, what they're about and why they're worth thinking about a bit more than you did before you started. If you're a regular viewer, then you'll notice that I've changed the lighting arrangements for this video. So please let me know what you think of that. And also let me know what you think of this video, whether you would like to see more videos on NFTs or any other sort of topics. Just drop some comments into the boxes below. So if you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.